case, and it's a subject that many in the world get mad about if you just read those verses. And work's not a bad word. Romans chapter 1, again, we've started a couple weeks ago looking at the evidence and progression of God's wrath, which brings us to verse 24. Wherefore, because they've rejected God, God also gave them up. He let go. He just let go. He gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, through the desires of their own hearts. Notice, God did not put these desires in their hearts. He just let them go to fill the desires of their own hearts. The problem is the desires of their own hearts. The problem is not God. Through the lusts of their own hearts to dishonor. To dishonor, very important word. Their own bodies between themselves. So God gave them up to impurity. This impurity is the result of the lust of their own hearts. So what we have here in verse 24 is sexual immorality, which of course increases as time goes on. Today it's a very common and sadly accepted form of behavior, sexual immorality. We saw last week that God, of course, has set the bounds of sexual relations. He brought Adam and Eve together as husband and wife, we saw last week, male and female, as God created them. We read in Genesis 2, verse 25, they were both naked, the man and his wife. You know, I've had people say, well, they were naked, so nothing wrong with it. What don't you understand about the man and his wife? The nakedness is in the context of the man and his wife. It's not public nudity. It's the man and his wife. And they were not ashamed. And again, people will take that and say, there's no shame in public nudity. Well, that's not what the Bible says. And you're really twisting Scripture to develop that thought process from this verse. Because they were not ashamed as husband and wife. The man and his wife. Notice in 1 Corinthians 7, and we read there in the first couple verses, let every man have his own wife. Doesn't say let every man have a wife. It says, let every man have his own wife. It's his wife. She doesn't belong to anyone else. His wife. His own wife. And let every woman have a husband. Again, that's not what it says. Have her own husband. The Bible has a way of emphasizing her own husband. And the sacredness that is to permeate the process of reproduction is this: the man and his wife, his own wife, her own husband. That's the bounds. That's the bounds that God has set. And it is absolutely sickening when God's people try to defend their children or their grandchildren, their sexual impurity. It's sickening. There's no defense for it. God has set the bounds. The man and his wife, his own wife, her own husband. And there's a sacredness about it. Hebrews 13:4, marriage is honorable. Now again, going back to Romans 1:24, we read that word dishonorable. Marriage is honorable in all. And the bed is undefiled. What bed is he talking about? He's talking about the marriage bed. The marriage bed is undefiled because that's within the bounds that God has set. So the sexual relationship, which is necessary for reproduction, as God created it and designed it, is within the bounds of marriage. And that was pure. That was wholesome. And still is. God's bounds are pure. Sex in the animal kingdom serves only one purpose, and that is reproduction. But not so. And that's what many have brought sex down to human level, is they've made it like the animals. But again, within the bounds of God, God creates a sexual interest and appeal in human beings. Again, we have to state male and female for the purpose of reproduction. But it goes beyond that. It's also an expression of love between a husband and wife. And again, people say, well, outside of marriage, they'll say, well, I love them. Well, maybe you do. But that doesn't make sexual relations right. It has to be within the bounds of marriage. Has to be, if it's going to maintain its sacredness. So, in ordaining sexual relations between male and female, as husband and wife, sex was created for marriage between male and female. God created male and female, and He created them with a sexual drive, but He also designed that marriage is the only outlet, of sexual expression and the sexual act. So by design of God, marriage is between a man and a woman. And that's marriage is the only acceptable place where sexual needs are to be met. The only place. That's God's design. Now, that seems strange today to many. That's out of date to many. That's because of where what we've become as a society. We are a sexually impure society. And the sad thing is, I mean, there's always been sexual impurity since the fall of man. But the sad thing is, today it's accepted. It's accepted. Now, I can remember, there was a girl, she was a couple years older than me, lived across the street from us when I was growing up. And she got pregnant. I never saw her again. I don't know what happened to her. Nothing was said, but never saw her again. Her parents sent her away. Now, I'm not saying that's right. I'm just bringing that up to show the difference. There's a big difference between that and what we have today. That wasn't right, but what we have today is, well, we're going to defend it. There's no defense. It's wrong. It's impure. But it's become accepted today. And we'll get on homosexuality here in a couple weeks. But I stand here and I'll tell you, I may be with the Lord by the time it happens. But I tell you, if the Lord doesn't come back, homosexuality will be accepted in Baptist churches. And it will be defended. And it'll get in the same way that all other sexual impurity gets in. Someone's child. Someone's grandchild. That's a church member. People say, oh, that'll never happen. That's what they said about divorce and remarriage. It'll happen. That's what they've said about a lot of things. It will happen, and it'll always get in the same way. It will happen. I hope I'm not here when it does. But it's going to happen. Sex outside of marriage is always illicit. It's always a defilement. It's plainly stated in the seventh commandment. Thou shalt not commit adultery. That command prohibits all sexual expressions, gestures, advancements, or acts outside the realm of husband and wife. Adultery is a husband or wife seeking happiness and sexual satisfaction through someone other than their spouse. That's adultery. It is sexual relations between a married man and someone other than his wife, or a married woman and someone other than her husband. That's adultery. And such is forbidden, plainly condemned throughout the Word of God. Again, sexual satisfaction is not to be sought. It is not to be promoted outside of husband and wife. And for someone to say, well, if they would have been a better wife, or if they would have been a better husband, stop. Just stop. That's nonsense. People have to take some responsibility for their acts. Quit blaming everyone else. And they have to take responsibility. Under the umbrella of adultery is fornication. Same act, but there is a difference. Fornication is sexual relations between unmarried people. Between unmarried people. Adultery involves married people. So, if a man who was married has sexual relations with a woman who is not married, he's committing adultery, she's committing fornication. Same act, but different terminology. You say, well, what's the point? Oh, it's a big point. When you come to the Sermon on the Mount and Jesus speaks upon the subject of divorce, that's where fornication comes in. People need to understand the difference between the two. So, both adultery and fornication is condemned throughout all the Word of God. Notice in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Again, what is so sad today is not just that it's so common, and it is, but it's approved of. And it's approved of by many of God's people. Oh, they won't come out and say verbally, I approve of sexual relations outside of marriage, but they do it with their acts. They do it with their actions. They approve. And they'll go out of their way to tell you they don't approve, but they do. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 13. Now the latter part of the verse. Now the body is not for fornication. So these people who say, it's my body, I can have sexual relations with whoever I want. Well, the Bible says the body is not for fornication. It's not for fornication. The body is for the Lord. The body is for the Lord. It's not for impurity. Verse 18, flee fornication. Flee it. Don't play around with it. Don't play around with that which leads to it. Flee fornication. You do not put yourself in those positions. Someone will say, well, I'm strong and I'm spiritually mature enough to be in that position and not sin. The very fact that you put yourself in that position shows that you're spiritually immature. Notice Ephesians chapter 5, verse 3. Ephesians 5, verse 3. But fornication and all uncleanness, and he mentions covetous, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. It's not becoming of a child of God. It should not once be named amongst us. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3. That every one of you should know how to possess his vessel. These bodies. Verse 3. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication. Again, same umbrella, adultery and fornication. That every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification. And there we have that word again, honor. Honor. That which glorifies God. Again, Hebrews 13, verse 4, marriage is honorable in all, and the bed, the marriage bed, undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. The lie of safe sex has been propagated for decades, but here's the truth. There is no safe sex outside of the God-set boundaries of husband and wife. So both adultery and fornication are widely accepted today. God gave them over to dishonor. Marriage is honorable, but to dishonor their bodies between themselves. And it is the result, fornication and adultery, sexual impurity, is the result of a depraved heart. The problem is not everyone else is doing it. I mean, that's a problem, but that's not the root problem. The problem is a heart problem. Notice in Mark chapter 7, verses 19 through verse 21. The Pharisees are upset because someone wasn't washing their hands. Because it entereth not into his heart, but into his belly, and goeth out into the draught, purging all meats. And he said, that which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. Not unwashing hands, but it's what comes out of the heart. For from within the heart, out of the heart of men, and may I say it cannot come out of the heart of men if it's not in the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, and goes on and mentions many sins. But again, they proceed from the heart. Galatians 5, verses 19 through 21, we see one of the works of the flesh is adultery, fornication. Both adultery and fornication are destructive. People don't seem to understand that today. There's dysfunction everywhere. Families are dysfunctional, and much of it is due to the fact that God's boundaries have been ignored. And they don't make the connection. It's just they've had a run of bad luck. No, you've had a run of sin. You've disobeyed God. And now you have children by multiple people, and the whole family unit's a mess. And they want to blame it on everybody and everything else. That's what I mean. It's accepted today. And people don't make the connection. It's destructive. Anything outside of the bounds that God has set is going to cause destruction. Is going to lead to dysfunction. Notice in Proverbs chapter 5. Proverbs 5. We'll just read these verses, but this just shows the destruction. My son, attend unto my wisdom, and bow thine ear to my understanding, that thou mayest regard discretion, and that thy lips may keep knowledge. For the lips of a strange woman drop as a honeycomb. Oh, they seem so harmless. And her mouth is smoother than oil, but her end. People need to understand there are consequences. There are consequences to actions. But her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Sounds destructive to me, harmful. Her feet go down to death. Her steps take hold on hell. Lest thou shouldst ponder the path of life, her ways are movable, that thou canst not know them. She's deceitful. Hear me now, therefore, O ye children, and depart not from the words of my mouth. That's the remedy. Remove thy way far from her. Far from her, as far as you can get, you do not play with this, and come not nigh unto the door of her house, lest thou give thine honor, there it is again, honor, unto others, and thy years unto the cruel. Give thy years unto the cruel. It's destructive. Verse 10, lest strangers be filled with thy wealth, it leads to poverty. Brother Kevin read a verse about that this morning. And thy labors be in the house of a stranger. It's enslaving. It's enslaving. I'm talking about sexual impurity. It's true of all sin. And thou mourn at the last. It doesn't bring happiness. And how many times people say, oh, it just makes me happy. It might in the moment. But misery's coming. When thy flesh and thy body are consumed. It's destructive. Proverbs chapter 7. We see the same warnings. Now, Solomon, of course, fell into these sins. And Solomon is writing to his son about his own mistakes, that is, Solomon's mistakes or sins, and the misery that it brought him. I mean, if you fall into these sins, at least have enough sense to warn others. Proverbs chapter 7, verse 5, that they may keep thee from the strange woman, from the stranger which flattereth with her words. And again, the Bible uses woman, it works both ways. For at the window of my house, I look through my casement. Okay, get the picture. Solomon is looking out his window. He's looking out into the street. And here's what he saw. Beheld among the simple ones, I discerned among the youths a young man, void of understanding. Oh, how many young men void of understanding. Passing through the street, near her corner, remove thy way far from her. This man's void of understanding, and he goes near to her corner, and he went the way to her house. Notice the progression. He went near her corner, and he wound up at her house. In the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night. And behold, there met him a woman with the attire of a harlot. There is such a thing as the attire of a harlot. Why would any father want their daughter to wear the attire of a harlot? It is beyond me. And subtile of heart, she is loud and stubborn. Her feet abide not in her house. She can't stay put. Now is she without. She's outside in the streets and lieth in wait at every corner. So she caught him and kissed him and with an impudent or brazen face said unto him, We need to stop there. Someone will say, well, it's her fault. She's the one who took the initiative. He went near her corner. He did so on purpose. He's at fault. I'm not saying she isn't, but he's responsible as well. I have peace offerings with me. This day have I paid my vows. Therefore came I forth to meet thee diligently, to seek thy face, and I have found thee. I have decked my bed with coverings of tapestry and carved works and fine linen of Egypt. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of love until the morning. And that is the mindset of many. Let us take our fill. Let us take our fill. Let us solace ourselves. Let us comfort ourselves. This is so enjoyable. For the good man is not at home. My husband is not at home. He has gone a long journey. Not only he's not at home, I know he's not going to be home for a while. He hath taken a bag of money with him and will come home in the day appointed. So she knew when to expect him. With her fair speech, she caused him to yield. With the flattering of her lips, she forced him. He goeth after her straightway, as an ox to the slaughter, destructive, as an ox to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks, till a dart strike through his liver, as a bird hasteth to the snare, and knoweth not that it is for his life. It'll ruin your life. Hearken unto me now, therefore, O ye children, and attend to the words of my mouth. Let not thine heart decline to her ways. Let not thine heart decline to her ways. Go not astray in her paths. For she hath cast down many wounded, yea, many strong men have been slain by her. Her house is the way to hell. going down to the chambers of death. Sexual impurity is destructive. It is destructive to life. It'll ruin individuals. It will destroy the family unit. It is draining upon finances. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 26. For by means of a whorish woman, a man is brought to a piece of bread, and the adulteress will hunt for the precious wife. We see the prodigal son in Luke chapter 15 and verse 30. He spent all of his living upon harlots. It'll drain you financially. And there are people today who have crossed, they have violated, they have ignored God-set boundaries. They're now paying alimony to who knows how many, and child support to who knows how many children, and they ought to. And they can never get out of the hole. I feel so bad for them. They just have it so rough. Why do they have it so rough? Because that's what sin does. That's what sin does. It's what the Bible says. They're going to be poor. They're going to be poor most of the time. It's destructive. But again, the sad thing here in Romans 1:24, it's accepted today. It's the norm. It's the normal thing. And that's where we are here in Romans chapter 1. He just gave them over. It becomes the norm. And when the norm is the violation of God's boundaries, you've got a society sinking fast in destruction. And that's where we are today. Let's look to the Lord. Heavenly Father, again, we thank you, Lord, this day. We thank you, Lord, for the clarity of your precious word. We just thank you, Lord, for the warnings that your word gives. And we pray, Lord, that you would protect our hearts at all times. And Lord, we do thank you for those who strive to live for you. We just pray now again that you would help us to look to thee for all things and worship you today. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.